without further ado, go to a gentleman who's no stranger to this program, no stranger to East Tennessee, going to join what in my mind is the best organization in professional football right now, coming off their Super Bowl victory. Randall Cobb now joins us on the show by way of Alcoa, by way of Kentucky. Randall, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
Man, hey, congratulations to you. Has it sunk in that you're now on the precipice of your NFL career?
Yeah, it has. You know, it hit me a few days ago that I am a Green Bay Packer, and like you said, one of the greatest organizations right now in football, and I couldn't be happier.
And really, when you get right down to it, the Green Bay Packers are a team, and I'm sure you're going to find this as you go, but man, they have fans everywhere. You talk about a team that the Cowboys gave themselves a label of America's team, but the Packers truly are, Randall, America's team. And when you found out that it was that organization, first of all, did it come as a surprise to you, or were you was your mindset that, hey, these guys are going to take me here?
No, it came as a surprise. I saw they were on the board, and my phone started ringing, and my face lit up. I was elated just to, you know, have the opportunity to play with the world champs, with Aaron Rodgers, Greg Jennings, all those guys, and Lambeau Field. You know, it's really an honor just to go into an organization that's been so successful in the past.
Yeah, and I've seen your hops, Randall. I know you can get up in the air, so Lambeau Leap's not going to be any problem for you.
No,
that's got to be
the first
amazing
thing I want to do.
I know your
guy. If I get a chance to score.
Yeah, you'd love to have fun with it, man. So that's going to be a lot of fun for you. Who were some of the teams coming in that you thought were going to take you, Randall?
Well, I had heard a lot from Atlanta and Baltimore and the Jets. So I figured one of those teams would get me. But the more I've learned with this process, that's usually how it goes. It's usually a team that you don't hear from much that, you know, tries to keep you under the table and be able to snatch you up at any chance they get. So luckily I was fortunate enough to be taken by Green Bay and have a chance to help them and contribute in any way I can.
Randall, obviously you fell a little bit in the draft in terms of where you were projected. Maybe that's part of the process as well, as you were talking about. There were some people who were talking about the fact that you had some great workouts, the possibility maybe of you being a late first-round draft choice. We heard those sorts of things. Does this slipping, if there is such a thing, does it make you more determined to go in there with a chip on your shoulder?
Always. You know, you always got to play with a chip on your shoulder. I believe definitely for me, that's what motivates me. I'm motivated off negativity, and, you know, people tell me I can't do something. And definitely, I felt that, you know, I could have possibly went early, but I had in my mind set that I was a late to second, early third guy. And as it fell, that's where I ended up going. But, you know, I always have played it with a chip on my shoulder, so it wasn't really, I don't think it's really going to change the way I play.
That's interesting, Randall, that you had late second, early third in the back of your mind while other people were projecting you highly. Where do you think that came from? Was that just a hunch on your part, or did that come from some agent folks that you had talked to?
I don't know where it came from. You know, the experts are experts for it because they analyze, but, you know, as far as my position goes, I knew I wasn't a first round receiver because most first round receivers they look at as, you know, the big guys that are able to take a team from the bottom of a receiving core to, you know, possibly one of the, you know, they're able to make a name for themselves in the first year. When I'm more of the slot return guy, and that's a little bit different from a first round guy.
Did you have a favorite NFL team before this or growing up? Did you have a team that you liked?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I kept up with the Titans living in Tennessee. So I watched them throughout the years, and also my dad was a big Pittsburgh fan, so I watched the Steelers growing up, Hines Wood and those guys, so I never really had a favorite team. I've always loved the game, and I love to watch it.
You know what's funny about you saying the Steelers is that I was disappointed the Steelers didn't grab you when they had the opportunity, because I think you'd be a perfect Steeler, and I think your mentality, seeing you through the years, would be perfect for that city. But if there's one other city that you'd be perfect for, it's those Green Bay people. I look at Randall Cobb and I see somebody who has excellent athletic ability yet has a blue-collar approach to the game of football. Do you think that's an apt description of you?
I believe so. I think the blue-collar more so, just for the fact that I love to work, and that's what I do. I like to work, and I like to be able to push my teammates and try to be a leader when I can. But, you know, one of the things I'm going to do in Green Bay is find what my role is, find where do I fit into the team, how do I approach things. So, you know, I'm going to go on with the mindset that I have to go to work and, you know, try to figure out what my role is going to be.
You know, you get drafted in this time of unrest. Ordinarily, you'd already be up there and be working out with the guys, and you'd have a mini camp coming up here in a couple weeks. But all this uncertainty, Randall, how does that play into things, and how do you keep yourself sharp in the midst of that?
Well, that's the hard part about it. Like you said, usually being OTAs or getting ready for mini camp right now, but I don't have the opportunity, and I'm actually sitting here watching a little bit of film on Green Bay right now, trying to get a feel for the offense and what kind of things they like to do. But as far as learning the play calls and the formations and all that, I won't have an opportunity to until the lockout's over. So I just have to, you know, try to fill it out for myself. And, you know, I've got my teammates, a couple of my teammates' numbers, so I'm going to give them a call later on the day and hopefully have a chance to sit down and talk with them for a little bit.
What a complete mess. Have any of the veterans reached out to you, Randall?
No, I haven't had any yet. Aaron Rodgers, I know, will be in town for the Derby this weekend, so hopefully I have a chance to meet up with him and be able to talk and discuss a little bit and see where he's at, and hopefully have a chance to get with him and train a little bit before we get into, you know, as long as his lockout keeps going, before I can get in with him a little bit before training camp.
You know, you landed at a place that's like a college town with the way they treat they got the publicly owned facet of their deal, plus just in that unique place they play in. Since you've been there, are they giving you the rock star treatment? Are you a big deal?
Well, I haven't had a chance to get up to Green Bay yet. I'm hoping I can get up there within the next couple of weeks. But I went from so many Twitter followers to just about double it. Just from all those fans, and you know, they show me a lot of love every day on there. Show my dad a lot of love. He gets a lot of friend requests on Facebook because they think it's me. So, but they seem like to be what everybody's told me, the greatest fans that anybody could have.
Yeah, you're gonna really enjoy it. Twitter. You mentioned Twitter yesterday. Rashad Mendenhall had his little episode. I'm sure you heard about. You had one earlier in the year with Kentucky, and I defended you when you had your deal with Kentucky, because what I know about you is you're a guy who is extremely competitive, and you want to win, and you wanted to see that Kentucky program take that next step when you were there, and you guys made some noise. What did you learn through all that Twitter episode that you had?
I learned that, you know, I can't take 1% of our fan base and turn it into a big deal, because those are the people that, you know, are supposed to be the motivators and supposed to be the ones that push me, because, you know, I breed off negativity. I can't take that little bit and make it seem like it's our whole fan base. We have a great fan base, and, you know, like any other SEC school, we have a fan base that wants to see us do well, and when we don't do well, they get a little upset. And I think the big thing I learned from it is just not to take that one little piece and make it a big deal. But, you know, luckily I was fortunate enough to learn from that situation and learn that, you know, I'm passionate about what I do, but I have to understand that they're just as passionate and they want to see us do well too.
It's a good perspective. You know, the other side of that is you're a public figure and you have to be careful what you put on that Twitter. You know, that's the... And once you post it, it's like somebody told me about email a long time ago. Once you fire that email off to somebody, when you do it in anger or however you do it, but when you do it, you can't get it back. Was there a part of you that thought, man, I wish I didn't do that?
No, it's not, because I learned from it. You know, I think that's how we grow as people, is learning from situations and learning from experiences that we have. And, you know, if I would have never did that, then I wouldn't have learned, and I would have did it whenever I was in Green Bay, and Lord knows what happened to me up there. So I was fortunate enough to learn from that situation and be able to move forward and understand what my words and my actions stand for.
Randall, what's Randy Sanders mean to you?
He means everything to me. He's been, for the past 3 years, been like a father figure to me. Just having an opportunity to work with him for so many years and grow a bond and relationship, he's been one of the most important people to me up here in Lexington, just for the fact that, you know, he's been loyal to me the whole way through, and just having an opportunity to play for him and learn from him has been a great experience.
And you got that Alcoa Kentucky pipeline started, and he seems to be making a living there as they continue to recruit kids from that great Alcoa High School program. How difficult was it for you to have not defeated Tennessee in your career at Kentucky? How badly did you want to get that last game?
Well, it was hard. I can't say that it wasn't. Being a guy from the area, and, you know, always growing up watching them play and being in that area and stuff, it was hard not to get that win, because, you know, the streak up here, that's, I think it's 25, 26 years now, is something that we wanted to end. It's something that, you know, we want to make it a rivalry again, but when you're getting beat that many times, I don't know if you can really make it a rivalry, but we're trying to continue to find a way to do it. We've came close a few times, but we've never been able to get over that hump, and I think once we can get over that hump, I think we'll be able to become somewhat of a more dominant team in the SEC.
You feel like when you have a streak like that, now you can speak to this, having been a part of that for 3 years, do you carry the weight of history in the games like that? And I guess what I'm asking you is, early on, you're in a game like that, you guys start well, you make a mistake, it looks like the weight of everything just sort of, you can feel it. You can feel it when you're looking at it. You can feel it in the stadium. All the ghosts of the past history. You think that comes into play with young people?
I think so. I think it does a lot. And especially if you have a team that, you know, Tennessee is always going to be good. They're always going to have great players, great coaches. Whenever you have a team like that and you make a mistake and you start thinking in any time in the game, you start doubting yourself or your teammates, then you're destined to lose. And you can't doubt. You got to make sure that you keep your head on straight and be mentally tough going into the rest of the game. And I think that's the point where we kind of got a little bit frustrated with each other and lost sense of what our goal was.
Hey, Randall, you guys are you're on your way to Green Bay and going for that second straight Super Bowl. They are up there, and it'd be fine with me next year if we're talking to you and you have yourself, even though I'm an Eagles fan, I'd be happy for you if you had a Super Bowl championship. And I want to thank you for coming on with us today, and really appreciate the way you've carried yourself. I appreciate the way that you the way you represent us in East Tennessee, and continued success to you. It's really wonderful talking with you today, Randall.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Wonderful talking to you, too.
All right, man. Randall Cobb, one more time,